I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, we've got two shows again tonight. They are Winona and the 100. So, as soon as my lovely co-hosts get here, we'll get rock and rolling. And we were just talking before through text messages that, oh, look, they're both here. Never mind.
I'm here.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi, I have it on speaker for 1 second. I need to take a couple pills, but I'm here.
I was thinking, I'm here. Look in the queue. Look in the dashboard. I'm here. How are you guys?
Yeah. Good. You?
I am good. I'm pretty good.
Oops, I'm dropping pills. But other than that, so
nothing exciting going on. I'm able to walk pretty good nowadays. So
that's good.
Well, that's good. Walking
and
is
I'll
good.
Be going. To, yeah, walking's good. you know, I walked 2 miles, but I had my crutches, just for like safety, and I'm going to start physical therapy on Monday. So I'll be able to do more than sit around on the, you know, I'll be walking without pain soon. I hope my tendonitis will clear up. So,
well, not for nothing. You chose the perfect time to be stuck on your couch.
I know. If you're going to break any of your, if you're going to break any bones, do it now.
Like,
you won't be missing anything. Yep. You won't be missing anything. Two shows this week, as AJ was explaining. So should we usually talk about Winona Earp first, right?
No,
go for
fine
it.
With me. I just want to mention before I start, because people who are listening to us might hopefully want to know this, but tomorrow...
Yeah.
It's 4:30 Eastern, my time. I'm talking to Tim, who obviously plays Doc, Tim Rosen. And
Tim
it's
Rosen.
Video. So, yay, that's new. So that will be available soon. How soon depends on how many spoilers we talk about, but that will be coming soon. And
excuse me, Jamie.
The mid-season finale is crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
So I was going to say, excuse me, are you talking to him about Winona Earp or about Vigor Queen or about Winona Earp?
Yeah.
About the show that's actually on right now, yeah.
right. Might mention that show a bit, but yeah, primarily about Winona. But like I said, all I have to say is the season or mid-season finale just gets crazier and crazier. So there'll be some
you've seen it already?
Stuff to talk about. Yeah. I need to watch it to talk to him, but I'm going to be careful. I don't reveal anything. And then also, for not this isn't Winona related, but I'm afraid if I wait till after I'll forget. I today talked to Amy Garcia, who plays Ella on Lucifer, and that will be going up in the next few days as well, as will my spoiler-free review will go up, well, my time at 3 a.m. tonight, but that'll be going up too, so... but anyway, that's all I had to say. I just wanted to say it before I forgot. And then we can move on to Winona. All right.
That's cool.
So why don't you tell me what you thought first about this episode?
So I think this season is not well planned out or written. Because there just seems to be like a new thing thrown on the screen every week, and I'm not really sure what the through line is. We did seem to finally get to what is going to be the big bad this season. We finally got like a new villain, but I don't think it was very well done or explained. So the Clantons were introduced, right? And that's interesting to me, but if you don't know who the Clantons are, you have to go to, like, Wikipedia to figure out our new villain. And even I, like, I knew, I'm like, oh, yeah, the Clintons were in the shootout at the OK Corral. But even, like,
yeah,
if you've heard of them, you need to do a little, you know, it wasn't really introduced
yeah.
very well. It's sort of all just, like, thrown in there. It's not really, there are so many, like, plot lines and incidents that didn't make sense this week that we can talk about. I do, you know, I do kind of like the idea of introducing a villain who is so closely tied to the ERP lore, but there were problems here that we'll discuss. I do kind of also like, I like and I also hate seeing Wynonna be kind of helpless without Peacemaker. I like it and I don't like it for several reasons that we can kind of get into. I did think this was better than last week's episode. But I'm not in love so far with where this season is going. How did you like this episode?
Well, I've obviously seen where it goes from here, so I can't really say like the through line.
Okay, but tell
really
how did you happen. Yeah, but how did you feel when
yeah.
you saw it and hadn't seen anything?
You know,
beyond.
At the beginning, watching just this episode, I was like, it is kind of a little confusing. And what I was and still not 100% sure on too is we have like these zombie things, which I guess were created in that where Rachel was in that bunker or whatever. I don't know if they're just like controlling. Like I'm kind of. I mean, I know.
You mean the
I kind of know
Reaper?
The answer, so I can't outright. But I assume that they're supposed to be the same zombie thingies that we've seen. That was in not in the I'm calling it a bunker, not in the bunker, but before when Wynonna and Nicole were trying to get to the garden and that, like those zombies that were in there. They seem to me to be,
no.
I'm calling them zombies, they seem to me to be the same thing, but maybe
no.
they're
Do you, are you talking about the Reaper? Are you talking about the
yeah.
Reaper that the Clantons created and sent after her? Yeah, I think
don't
it's
they look
film...
the same, though, to you? Maybe that's where I'm
yeah.
a little confused, because I thought it
yes.
was supposed to be the same creature and they're controlling it or something.
No,
and...
no. I think it's its own creature that
is it just me, or does it look really, really similar, though, to the ones from the premiere?
Well, I think
just...
we may have a limited makeup budget
yeah,
makeup on this program.
Right, that's true.
I think it's its own thing, and I think that, you know, it's funny because, like, you thought ma'am, the mother, created it, and then it appears that Chloe actually created it and sicked it on Wynonna without permission from her mother, I think is what happened by the end of it. But in this episode, like, when, right, like, it was Chloe who created it and sicked it on Wynonna, and that's why her mother became so mad that she stepped out of line. And Billy was wrong.
Yeah,
Billy
yeah when
thought
they were
it...
in the snow the other episode, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Cleo,
mm-hmm.
not Chloe. I keep seeing
Chloe. Cleo,
that's
Cleo,
not
Cleo,
the right name.
Cleo.
Okay, Chloe's from the
Well, Cleo,
Snow.
Cleo,
no,
first Cleo
right.
tried to get the Nedley monster to eat her, right? And now
right.
I think Cleo's hand is cut because she used her own blood to summon Ike Clanton. The Reaper is Ike Clanton, right?
Oh, I didn't remember it had a name, but yeah.
Yeah,
I
Billy
don't know.
Referred
I just...
to it. Billy or okay. Holt, I think Holt,
referred
one of them referred to it as Uncle Ike. And so Ike Clanton, Ike Clanton, like, I don't know if you read much about the Clantons, if you did much
not
research on the
like
Clantons.
Like the real history
okay.
of it, no.
All right, so I can run that down quickly later if you want, if you're interested, but for now.
That's fine. I'm being careful what I say. I didn't remember how to name
yeah.
yet. But
What happened was at the OK Corral, the Earps and the Clantons were in the shootout at the OK Corral, right? And so... Mm-hmm. Later, Ike Clanton came back and tried to assassinate Wyatt Earp's brother, Virgil. And
right,
then Ike was arrested.
Right.
Ike was arrested, and then I think he gets killed or whatever, but there was a real Ike Clanton, and so they did refer to him as Uncle Ike. So I think he, like, they're summoning, I don't know if that's really him or his spirit, but he's, like, Ike Clanton would be an actual contemporary of Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday. He's, like, from there, from the shootout.
See, I want to ask one thing, but that's why sometimes mm-hmm. I die when I have to watch it ahead, because I'm like, I don't know if that happened yet. I can ask this, because if you haven't seen it, nobody will know what the hell I'm talking about. But did they see the video in this one? Wynonna
there
and
was no...
Doc? Okay, then that's something
no,
later.
No, they did not
okay,
watch the video in this episode.
Don't want to mention that yet.
Okay.
But the point of this episode is it's kind of what I was going to say is the beginning with her going back to Black Badge and everything. I get it. I don't know that they had to pull out so much of, you know, them being the enemy and her not telling who she was. Because, I mean, we know at the beginning of the season that Black Badge grabbed everybody. We just hadn't really known, well, not everybody, but most of them, we just hadn't really known what happened to them and, you know, why Jeremy was there. So this finally tells us. But, you know, Doc's working for Amon, I think. So they're kind of on the opposite sides at the beginning when he goes to steal from the truck. But obviously they realize it's each other. I was looking for this. I'm just being very careful what I say. But we have the little sort of romance between Rachel and Billy, which doesn't go so well. But, yeah, I mean,
yeah. Obviously
it's all about – I'm just trying to be very careful what I say. It's all about this feud, and obviously there is a lot more to come. And we also see at the very end the big thing with Nicole is when she goes to see – I'm trying to read exactly what the scene is so I don't go too far. But when she goes to see Ma'am – where's that at? I'm losing
my mind. At the very end, and she says – I'm not paying you back because I'm not paying you for, like, it appears that Nicole has purchased some sort of supernatural something or other. Like, we don't know, but I think that maybe Nicole was looking for help to rescue them from the garden, and she turned to Ma'am, and there was some black magic or something involved, and now Nicole wants to back out, and Ma'am's, like, too late. It's kind of what it looks like. And then at the end, she opens the jar, and all these, like, insects fly inside Nicole's mouth or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, because she even says, I found what I was looking for, because she even says to her, you know, they got out of the garden themselves. So obviously she wanted help, and she made some kind of bargain, which we'll find out more about. I was trying to find the one thing about...
Yeah.
I was just looking for something while I'm talking to you, because I was thinking at the end Winona said something at Black Badge, but that may be the next one. So
Ma'am says something to Nicole. I forget what the exact thing is that Ma'am says to Nicole, but when Nicole's like, they got out of the garden themselves, and Ma'am says something like, don't be so sure, or, oh, you think so, or I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Still going to make her pay it back is what she's saying,
but,
regardless.
Well, no, I think she's saying, no, I did get them out. Like, don't be so sure they got out by themselves. Like, it was sort of very easy to get out, and the door just kind of was open,
yeah,
right? I think it's possible that Ma'am, like, fulfilled her end of the bargain.
We don't really know that.
I have a couple problems with some of the things that we're seeing here. So my one problem, okay, so let me set aside Winona and Doc for a minute. But, like, so seeing Winona say, like, I recognize that creature and it recognized me. And like, she was truly, like, she's never seen the Reaper before. And it's really,
right,
to me, not scarier than, like, those beehive people were, like, way scarier, right? Even though they were just, like, I don't know, they didn't really do anything. But we've seen a lot of scary revenants, and Winona is really terrified of the Reaper. And she says it knew me and I knew it or whatever. And so I kind of like the way they're putting in that Clanton rivalry. What really I don't like is that the idea that this is someone who they've had a family feud since, like, 1880, the OK Corral, and it appears to be, like, complete news to Winona and Waverly that there are Clantons around.
I don't know all their history. You know,
but why not? All
did.
Waverly ever does is research.
Well, that's
like
Waverly
her,
should,
like,
yeah.
Well, and Winona, I mean, come on, I know it. It's hugely famous, the OK Corral. Like, you know, there have been movies about it. I would think that in their understanding of, they know a lot about being the heir and the family curse and all that, and now to suddenly, it just seems a little bit dropped in there. Like,
I didn't know anything out about it because I don't know, like, the history of that kind of thing. So to me, I didn't feel that way, but I see what you're saying, yeah.
I think
you probably should know by then.
I think all it would take is a few lines of dialogue to add, like, oh, my God, yeah, that's been, like,
whatever.
Like, they were cursed. Oh, yeah, like, a little exposition. By the way, they were cursed the same time we were. By the way, mm-hmm. like, whatever, right? Like, know anything, and that it, like, according, when you see the clans, when you see Ma'am, she appears to feel that the Earps are her multi-generational mortal foe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Earps don't know about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how, and like, how long has she been in town? Like, did she just move there last week? Like, how could Clantons have been in town for the last four seasons and they don't know about it? So it feels to me a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, it feels to me a little bit dropped in there. So, and it could have been a little better explained how,
yeah,
how this came to be. The second thing is, I'm sorry, really quickly, like, Mam mentions them being cursed, but they don't really appear to be cursed. Like, she's able to control a Reaper, which is kind of a good thing. So far, it's a good thing. So far, it's not a bad thing. Maybe how they are cursed will become more apparent to me next week and in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think more of it obviously gets explained. I feel like they tried to at least, before the end of the episode, get in, like, the crazy part with Nicole, you know? So they tried to, to at least get that part in. But obviously more of it will be explained. And I think this episode and then the next two, I don't know, I found them kind of creepy. I mean, it's not, like, you know, terrifyingly horrifying, but, I mean, I definitely found these last three episodes pretty creepy. And but the thing I was looking for that I was going to say is I like how at the end Wynonna's finally like, no, you know, I'm Wynonna Earp, and you're going to listen to me because I know what to do, and I'm the only one that can take care of it, you know. But obviously she does not have Peacemaker, which is not good.
It's not good, but Wynonna has always been very arrogant and self-confident, like, to a fault,
this is true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And to see her be so insecure without her people, it has not really rang true to me these last few episodes, because Wynonna is constantly, like, trying to lock them in the barn or trick them into going out. She's constantly trying to go off without them so as to not put them at risk, right? And she's lately been in a situation where she can't function without them, which, okay, I mean, we all need a support system, and she loves them and worries about them. I think it makes more sense than I really don't like what they've done to Nicole, and that she's a complete, I don't want to say she's worthless, because she does, like, bait the traps and she can do stuff, but she has become, like, a shell almost of herself, right? And, and it's hard to, like, we have this new, like, all we know is Rachel, this new character who keeps saying, she was alone, she was alone, she was alone, she was alone, like, which is the explanation of why Nicole is like this. She wasn't alone, first of all, because she was with Rachel the entire time, but she was alone without her loved ones, I get that, but to see Nicole turned into this very insecure, self-doubt, it's my fault. Like, okay, it's not your fault they were in the garden for, like, all that time, right? Like, they went in the garden. So, like, I don't really like how they've made Nicole like this. It might have helped had we seen an episode of her struggling on her own, but all I know is that is Rachel telling me.
Yeah.
That's all I have, right?
And I do think, and I noticed earlier, too, after they got back, it seemed like, you know, Nicole's acting a little bit different. And I think we talked about this, too. Like, she's had to kind of keep up hope, and, like, it's been, you know, a year and a half, and I think that maybe after a certain point she's kind of, like, wanted to keep, you know, wanted to keep hope, but maybe was losing hope. And I think that she did not necessarily, now, granted, you're right, we don't know anything that happened with Rachel, but, you know, she's been there to see how she's tried to deal with basically losing the person she loves for a year and a half. I mean, I think anybody at a certain point would think she was dead, no matter what you want to believe, you know, which obviously that's when she, you know, went to Mam or whatever and did something that we'll find out more about next week. I mean, I don't find it, I find it realistic, but I kind of agree with what you're saying. Like, it would have been nice to maybe see a little bit more of that, because she does at times, even when she's with, Waverly, and I thought this before, she kind of sometimes just acts a little different, like something's still not quite right. And who knows, maybe it's because this has been, you know, eating away at the back of her mind. I don't know. And I'm, you know, not going to say one way or another, but that would, at this point, kind of was what I was wondering. Because whatever it is that she did or didn't do or, you know, agreed to, obviously it's gonna come back to bite her. But I think it would have been nice to see more of that, because we only know the version since she came back. But, you know, there's only so many episodes, and I'm pretty sure that the season's been Well, maybe, I guess usually it's only 13 episodes, so maybe it's not been that shortened. But I know that, you know, filming and that was stopped in between and everything, and I think some things have maybe been changed around. I don't know, and I'm not sure. But,
well, and so that's an opportunity for me to just mention one thing why I don't appreciate, like, the amount of time that was devoted to Rachel's little romance this week, which I know now, like, by the end of the episode, it becomes clear that they only gave Rachel this much attention as an excuse to bring the Clantons into it, I guess, right? Because I was like, oh, my God, Rachel, this might be the last season, right? We were lucky to get this season, only by the fans going nuts,
saying.
Right?
It feels like it's a lot to be devoted to somebody else. Yeah.
Well, it's a new character that I don't care about. I really don't care about this new character. They did very little to develop her, and she's kind of a jerk, right? She's not friendly to anyone. I actually would like to see, maybe if she's been 18 months living alone with Nicole, there should be a closeness between them that is not evident to me. And I just am not, like, she's not, to me, she's not unlikable, but she's not likable. But to have that much invested in her, where I'm far more entertained by, like, the going on in the glory hole or some other things it seemed like a lot of attention paid to Rachel. And I actually, so Jamie, quickly, I think we have, like, this huge plot hole where when they got back from the garden, they go in the house and it appears that Jeremy has scratched the word Valdez into the side of the wall, right? Which leads them to how they found Rachel. But there's this huge plot hole, like, why did Jeremy even know the word Valdez?
Yeah.
Why did he do it there when Black Man came to, like,
right?
Because Valdez
was
dead.
It was to find
she was
him.
Dead.
Yeah,
yeah,
I thought it was to find him, and then I kind of forgot. I kind of, well, you know, we don't know, though, where they moved or whatever. I kind of, at least at the beginning, was of the impression that when he led them to that lab, like, that was part of where was going to lead to Jeremy, and then it just kind of didn't. I don't know.
Well,
there,
I thought it was
going
to lead to who kidnapped them, but it wasn't because the mother of Valdez was already dead. It's a big empty hole right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought of. But there's another kind of big one thing I'm kind of like, wait, what happened to this? But I can't tell you that. But at the end of the mid-season finale, I'll be like, what? And you'll probably think it was the same thing I'm thinking. Like, there's kind of another thing that they left open. But again, this is the mid-season finale, so there may be more connecting. And I mean, I like Rachel. I don't mind her, but I do agree that maybe we should have had more time of either her, like her and Nicole alone, or, you know, Nicole without Waverly. The only thing, though, that I think was saying that is if we had had an episode of just that, I think that it would have taken too much away from the storyline we did need, and I think we probably would have been complaining that there wasn't enough in the main storyline. But maybe, like, a scene, you know, would have helped that.
Yeah.
And then I was also going to say, I do know after watching this, I want to see more of Wynonna and Doc. I've said that a couple times before. I want to see more of Wynonna and Doc, and I kind of like their banter in this episode when she handcuffs herself in the truck. Of course, she, you know, should have made sure she had a key first, but that's, you know, that's her, and that's either
that's
here or
Wynonna.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did kind of like that little scene, even if we didn't get a whole lot yet. But, yeah, like I said, I think it is an interesting storyline. It is at this point in the infancy of it, and it's kind of like you don't know a lot of what's going on, but we're kind of getting into the Black Badge stuff, so you'll learn more as we go. But
I'm
curious
Black
to see
Badge
where they go
back
with the rest of the season. Yeah.
And I really like the idea of Black Badge being staffed by just a bunch of government people who are in way over their heads and don't know what they're doing and are scared. They need anyone who knows anything, and I kind of like the idea of, like, it all being government incompetence and they don't know what to do, so they've created this really dangerous situation out of their own fear.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like.
You would think, though, that they would at least do research, because the fact that Jeremy's like, this is Wynonna Earp, like, nobody knows anything about this. And this is in the middle, well, I guess they're not in the middle of Purgatory right now, but they're watching Purgatory. I mean, yeah, I would think somebody would have been around that knew her, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, this storyline definitely gets more fleshed out in the next two episodes, and we'll learn more about the not vendetta. I'm saying the wrong word, but it's kind of a vendetta.
The curse?
But the Well, I wasn't going to say the curse. No, the feud. Feud. That's what I was going to say. The feud between the two families. We'll learn more about that and kind of how everyone's involved, or you know. So.
Yeah. I mean,
like
I don't know, and I'm not asking you to tell me, but I think this is a great opportunity for Doc to give some good exposition next week. Having been present at the OK Corral, right? Doc Holliday was at the OK Corral, I think. And should know all about, you know, the conflict between the families that gave rise to the shootout in the first place and, like, where that all came from. It's a good opportunity for Doc to, which I like because, like this business with the glory hole is interesting, and I kind of like Doc and Winona being on opposite sides of this, like, smuggling thing, but it's minor because we know Doc and Winona will never truly go against each other. And it will be nice to see him maybe come around to, you know, supporting her and the team in a bigger conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll talk more about it next week. And I said that video with Tim will be coming too.
Great. I'm looking forward to that.
Yep. He always gives a good interview.
Jamie, I guess you're going to drop off before we talk about the 100, but you would be interested to hear that the guest actor, the guest star on the 100 this week, in a terrible storyline, was Jonathan Scarf, who plays Axel on Van Helsing.
Cool.
Had a big, big part to play.
At some point coming back. I know they've been filming it already, so coming back.
It was weird because he had the storyline involved people having to live in a cave for like 3 months. And he had this like shaggy hair and beard or whatever, but it was like a dark blonde, light brown color. And at first I was like, who is that guy? He looks so familiar, but I can only see his eyes under all this fake hair they have all over this guy. And it took me like a little while to be like, oh my God, that's who it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. It's kind of cool because, you know, like, the character, like we already had a character from the 100, I'm forgetting his name. AJ can tell me the character who plays John Murphy on the 100 played that that horrible like smuggler kind of guy who kidnapped Flesh's wife and child last year.
We've already had the one. You mean the one that was on the 100 in the beginning?
Yeah,
you said that. I'm
never
going to think
of
his name, but I know who you mean.
He's still on it. His name
is
escaping
right
now. The actor's name. Yeah, I mean we've already had some crossover actors between those shows, so we had a big one this week. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's Canada for you.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. Well, I will talk to you guys next week.
Okay. Have a good night, Jamie.
Good night. You guys too.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Right,
bye-bye. Bye, AJ. I'm barely here for my AJ.
Bye,
AJ. Bye.
There he is.
Night.
Hi, AJ.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi. So, the 100, this was episode 11, and our male and female leads shared 30 seconds of screen time in the final minute of the episode, finally, after 11 episodes. Bob Morley was back.
So, you go first.
I have a number of problems with, I think this episode in a lot of ways, for me, like, helps me to really drill down on what is wrong with this season overall. I mean, of course, a big part of what is wrong with the season is the absence of Bob Morley, and to a certain extent, Eliza Clark. Eliza, what's her name? Who plays Clark? Eliza Taylor. She's had relatively little screen time this season, considering that she's the female lead of the show, right? And so their relationship is like the heart of this show. I mean, maybe them and Octavia and a couple main characters, but so this episode and what the idea that this episode puts Bellamy on some sort of personal inner journey, for a character whose emotions are so on his sleeve at all times, like Bellamy is so driven by his love for the people he loves. I feel like his soul is something that's always on display. So for this episode to be a little bit of a pilgrimage and a battle for his soul is I don't know. I'm concerned about what they've done, that this is not maybe true to Bellamy. It is and it's not, right? Like, I can see, like, Bellamy maybe, like, searching for, I don't know. This season likes to, they like to talk a lot about faith this season, but this show really doesn't do faith very well. And anytime they have shown people of faith, they have always been, like, kind of crackpots on the show. And, like, faith has always been shown to be, like, whether it was the City of Light or whether it was, like, the Flame or other people that had other, you know, the disciples on Sanctum, like, anybody, the cults that we're seeing now, anyone who's a person of faith is a crackpot on this show. And so to see Bellamy going this direction is not a good, like, I think he could die. I think where they're going is, like, they're definitely setting up Bellamy. I don't know, now I'm ranting, but I also really don't like, I think they're not doing a good job with this idea that suddenly the moral of the story is, like, loving people, not more, I mean, that the shepherds people feel like loving the people that you love is a selfish weakness. And that they, like, they love no one because they love everyone, and that is the way to enlightenment. Like, I don't feel like it bodes well for Bellamy, and I'm starting to wonder if he could die. So I didn't like any of that. And there's, like, major plot holes with the glowing cave. Like, anytime we see a glowing golden cave, we know we're in trouble on television, right? The golden cave is a problem.
It wasn't
for me.
Glowing cave. It was glowing people.
Who all looked like Groot? It was three little Groots.
Actually, I don't even know what the hell it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I have some theories on what we saw there, but how did you like the
episode at all? Not.
I think we didn't have enough time. Like, I think if we had, okay, so granted the actor was not available to them for a while, but I feel like if I had been able to see a little more of Bellamy's conversion play out over a longer period of time, I might buy it more. I just don't, like, maybe I could see Bellamy being, like, brainwashed into a cult because he had to spend 3 weeks in a, 3 months in a blizzard with this guy, like, nonstop, like, talking to him about it. And then he has this vision, which I have theories about the vision. But to see him betray Clark within 30 seconds is where I really, it really loses me. Like, I cannot believe that Bellamy, you know, in his Jon Snow costume, bends the knee immediately to this man he's never met or laid eyes on before, right? And then he turns right around and betrays the three women that are his driving force of his entire life. And to not see him struggle at all with that raises a couple questions of what could really be going on here. And I don't know what you think of, but, and none of them are a good answer. I don't know. What you think about that? Like, it was so obvious. It was like, as soon as Clark said it, I was like, Clark, you're so fucking stupid, right? Like, it was a dumb move on Clark's part for sure. But as soon as she said it, you knew where this was going, right?
Well, on Clark's part, because it's Bellamy.
What?
So,
wait, you're breaking up a little bit.
Like, she doesn't know that he's going to betray him like that. She, you know, so I can't say that it's a dumb move on Clark's part, because if you can't trust Bellamy, who can you trust, right? Okay.
I guess, but
so.
Yeah. So.
I realized something this episode. And I believe the reason we came to this episode, we finally get Bellamy. We get Bellamy, and in an episode we didn't know that we wanted this.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. Speak up, sir.
Hold on. We didn't need or want this episode, okay? In the past,
yes.
We've watched episodes and been like, hey, I didn't need the episode, but I enjoyed it. I hated this episode. It was Bellamy in a cave for 3 months with glowing people or things or something. He wasn't giving in. And then when the dude, I think the turning point was when the other guy fell off the cliff and he pulled him up and he started reciting the whole mantra and everything, that he,
when he saved Doucette,
maybe started to believe. But
yeah,
all right. Bellamy's learned nothing, and it's funny because he even mentions Pike in the first cave, and that's what this season
mm-hmm.
is. This final season is a mishmash of every other season. Okay, on Sanctuary, you got Shade Hater, which is season 1 and 2. Okay, so we got season 1 and 2 all over again with Shade Hater. Okay, now we've got the Quack with the face and everything, which is the Alice storyline with the City of Light. Okay.
Well, you know,
left to the show.
No, I was gonna say, I'll give you that. This is very much like Jaha going to the City of Light, and then becoming almost instantly converted and trying to convert everyone else, and you know, much to his detriment and everybody else's by the time it's over.
I
see that similarity for sure.
I mean, didn't Bellamy learn his lesson after the Pike fiasco, and now he's just going to give himself over to the Shepherd? Because what exactly? What did he see, or what happened that made Bellamy a true believer? The glowing people in the cave mean nothing, or whatever the heck those things were, those lights. They mean nothing. It could be a some kind of phosphorus phenomenon on that planet for all we know. It could be something like the
Northern.
It could be the Northern Lights, and they're in this cave instead. You know, like
there's
nothing.
And
for Bellamy to betray his people at the end of the episode,
and he said that at first. At first, Bellamy said, "I believe what I can prove." Right, and then the guy's like, "Well, you love your sister. Can you prove that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you can prove it by every single thing Bellamy's ever done in his entire life, which is, you know, to try to save the people he loves." I mean, I could maybe see this show. So the show hasn't set it up, but I could maybe see, had they laid it out better, Bellamy looking for someone, for a leader to follow, if this was a couple seasons ago. Like, these are kids who none of these kids had a true, like, there are no fathers on the show. There were a few mothers on the show. Like, Bellamy's father has not really been much of anything we've heard about. He was dead, I guess, because it was the mother who raised that, the mother this and that, right? And these are kids who went to the ground as teenagers, and I could maybe see it, but it hasn't really been established. Bellamy, more than the others, maybe has sought a parent figure or a leader figure, and like was following Pike a little bit about like wanting an adult to like help take the lead, right? But it has been been years and years and years. Like we had a 6-year time jump. He's like 26 now, right?
Bellamy,
so it's not
he's older than that, actually, because you got to remember, Bellamy was older than the rest of them because all those kids had just turned 18, and that's why they were being sent to the ground. He got into the guard so that he could go to the ground with Octavia.
Yeah.
Which means
he was older.
He was already in his 20s, so Bellamy's closer to 30, if not 30, after all this time jumping and all the years on the ground.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Bellamy isn't – I don't feel like Bellamy's searching for a leader. Bellamy is a leader. He's a leader. Plain and simple.
He is.
He commanded every, you know, I mean, between him and Clark, they're the leaders. Other people have chimed in with suggestions and stuff, but they're the leaders, you know? This is a guy who poisons his sister because she was so wrong, you know? And just, I can't, there is no part of me from the episode we just saw that shows me anything to believe that Bellamy is a true believer. But unfortunately, unlike Echo and Octavia and Diauza, I believe that he actually is. There's no reason I should believe it, but it's because it's what the writers want me to believe. They did not do a good job of showing me why he believes. There is nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they do the whole thing after they turn on the sphere, and you know the anomaly is like below them, and they have to fall into it. And they're like, it's a leap of faith.
Yeah.
It's not a leap of faith. It's a fucking anomaly. You know what's going to happen when you land in it. You're going to zap to the other planet. So it's not a leap of faith.
Yeah.
But they're telling us that's what they're portraying it as, because it's not. And it's for me, I cannot wait for the show to be over, because this episode, more than anything else, I finally get Bellamy back, and they ruined him in 42 minutes.
Yeah, you've raised some good points, and you're making me think, like, so I think they actually did a pretty good job with Octavia, Dioza, and Hope, who they spend 5 years, like Orlando, that guy who came to them on penance, who taught them everything about the Shepherd. They spent, like, I think 5 years with this guy, teaching them everything they could know to become a level 12, and they're not brainwashed. And actually, they did a good job of making us think they could have been brainwashed, and they were faking brainwashed up until the moment that it became clear they're not brainwashed. And that was actually pretty well done, because they gave them 5, 6, 7 episodes, right? So for Bellamy to become brainwashed in 3 months become a true believer is harder to swallow. And I can't really say, like, I don't want to chalk it up to, like, his trauma. I do think maybe his trauma is worse than Octavia's. And yet Octavia's been through so much, right? Octavia's been a pretty broken person also. Like, are we going to say it's because Octavia's stronger than Bellamy? That's, like, not a fair way to... But I agree with you that I do, like, okay, there's the possibility that he's faking it. But no, because the writers have already played that trick. So the card they're playing now is for Bell. I think Bellamy's a true believer right now, and it doesn't.
I do too.
It doesn't make any sense for him to immediately fall to his knees and say, "My Shepherd." And so one thing that's different is that he had this vision. So I have some theories about what that was and why he saw his mother, and what that was about. I've been working up some theories on that. I don't know if you have any theories about what that vision was all about. Do you think this show is going in this mystical transcendence, this idea like we will be transcended and kind of, you know, these people transcended, and then Bellamy's like, well, they had no technology. There's no technology here. So how did they live here and become transcended? And so like, is it going to be, like, faith, God, mumbo-jumbo, which to me would be a cop-out. Like, one of the reasons I hate Battlestar Galactica so much is because in the end, it's like, wait, what? They were angels in the – like, what? Like, Gaius was the chosen one? No, he's an angel? Like, was here – like, all that religious crap at the end. And I don't mean religious crap. Like, look, I'm a Catholic. I work for the Catholics. I believe in religion and faith. I just mean it was crappy the way they did it. So, like, it could be that they're going for this ultimate transcendence thing, or I think it's going to all come back to technology. So I think that guy, but I don't think it was an accident that Bellamy and Doucette went through there together. I think maybe crazy cult leader Bill somehow like managed to bloop them through there with his ace cult recruiter to try to, like, the key to controlling these women is controlling Bellamy. If I'm Bill and I know that these women are so motivated by their love for, I don't know. At any rate, I think that wasn't a vision. Like, I think it's really critical that at the beginning of the episode, we saw Levitt looking at this guy's memories and saying, oh, look, Bellamy's not dead. He blooped, right? And then we get the flashback. And I'm wondering, is there something we didn't see off screen, which was Levitt going to Cadogan and saying, oh, my God, Bellamy's alive. And was there a way that Bill was able to put that vision into the cave for Bellamy to see it? Is that vision a manipulation? Because they have access to, they had all of Olivia's memory, Octavia's memories, so could they recreate the mother? Like, I just wonder if this is more of a technology-based storyline rather than a mystical storyline. And, like, I believe that this Shepherd Bill is a total scam artist, right? We know he's a scam artist. And I think, is there a level of manipulation going on there, a technology-based manipulation to cause Bellamy to I mean, it makes no sense because their whole argument is like, loving is selfish, and they're like, let us show your mother, the person you love. Like it just, it didn't make any sense the way they play Bellamy's individual love for everyone against that. But I'm thinking that this is some sort of wormhole-y technology-ish. It comes back to Becca. It comes back to all of this. Or maybe it's just my wish that this should not be a bunch of mumbo jumbo and should be technology in the end. I don't know. What do you think about my theory there that the vision is a manipulation?
I like it. I hadn't really thought about it or anything like that, but I do like it. Because it's better than what they've given us.
Well, yeah, and like the fact that this picture of Bill's family is sitting there, it's what allows Doucette to say, oh, that's our shepherd, and then for Bellamy to recognize him when he, like, it makes no sense why this picture would still be sitting there in a cave in the middle of a blizzard for like however many million years or whatever's been going on there, right? It actually makes no sense for that guy to have that picture, because what we saw in the backdoor pilot was him pretty much writing off his family and being like, whatever, my family betrayed me.
Oh,
they're a bunch of jerks. My wife. He murdered his wife. And then come to find out he's carrying around their picture forever. I mean, if they were going to develop that character, okay, that might make sense that, yes, he's always regretted that or whatever. Although he's too much of an egomaniac to show that. I just feel like for him to carry that picture around is a little... I don't know. It was too perfect, and I just feel like, is it a setup to get Bellamy on their side to ultimately, like these women are so independent and strong, and I don't want to say they can be controlled by Bellamy, but they can't. But like Bellamy is the emotional linchpin of the whole cast and the whole show, right? Like he's the emotional heart of the show. And they all love him. I mean, I don't know. I think he could die. I'm convinced even more that Echo's going to die right now, because I feel like for him to be back, like everything that Echo did in the name of revenge and all those people she killed in the name of revenge, like now he's back. Right. Like, and I think he could die. Like, I wonder if they're setting him up for like some sort of sacrifice. And will it be worth it in the end?
See, you know what, though? At the end of the day, the whole problem is we have all these speculations and theories because there's no intricate web. We're jumping as many straws as they are because everything that's being done and given to us and shown is because it's what they want us to see, not because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
This whole Bellamy storyline. You know, Bellamy dropping to his knees and saying, my shepherd, and betraying Clark within 5 seconds is not logical in what we've been given. It is simply being shown to us because it's what they want to happen. And, and we've been complaining about this show doing this all season.
Yep. Yep. I would have preferred to see Bellamy struggle with that for at least, like, 10 minutes. And could we have seen Bellamy be like, listen, Clark, you've got to tell them. They're going to find out anyway, which they were. They would eventually find out.
Right.
Like, you know, like, could we have seen Bellamy say, listen, this guy's the real deal. You've got to tell him. But, I mean, we didn't even see him even try to, if he's such a true believer, wouldn't he try to convince them? Like, maybe that's the worst part of the whole thing, is that Bellamy didn't even think twice or have 5 minutes of deliberation or try to convince her. He just immediately was like, I mean, in what way is that, this idea that loving one person is selfish and you should love no one and that is how you love everyone is kind of like ridiculous, especially from a man who has people fall to their knees at his feet, right? Like they love you and you kind of like that. Like he's definitely not in the idea that all humans are equal except for him. Right. And so, I mean, he's clearly a charlatan, but so also to betray Clark in that way, like he doesn't know if they'll kill Clark now that that the flame does not exist. So we know where the flame is. The flame is buried on Sanctum, but the flame is non-functional. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. And I'm a little annoyed that this episode, like, we had this huge revelation last week where the worst character ever, Monty's son, whose name is, what is his name, Monty's son?
Jordan.
Where Jordan has this huge revelation, which actually that was kind of well done, where he's like, maybe it's like Korean, kind of like Korean. And he, like, does this big thing, and he's like, oh, my God, they totally misunderstood the prophecy. And then to have that drop, like, I mean, here's another problem with our character. Like, where were they this week, by the way? Like, we saw that the main three women were under house arrest together, which made it very convenient for the reunion, but we didn't see, like, the other, like, it was kind of too bad that Raven wasn't there and Nyla and, you know, the other characters who have been separated from them somehow. And now next week is a Shade Hayda episode, right? So next week, will we even see Clark and Bellamy? I don't know, because next week we're back with Murphy, who I'm concerned about, but I just really want Shade Hayda to be gone.
Well,
now we've got,
I mean, that whole storyline is just to keep people busy. Yeah, I was really, like, we really wanted Bellamy's return to be a really triumphant, fantastic episode that would fix everything, right? And instead,
not so
it was,
much fix everything, just to have him. I didn't need everything fixed with his return. I just needed him to return in general, and it was anticlimactic because, you know, I mean, I had hope for the episode. I'm thinking, okay, you know what, this could be an interesting episode. I'm not holding out hope for it, but, you know, I'm not going to hate the episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to hate the episode because it just. And I was actually content and kind of okay until the last 5 seconds. It's just they continue. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, Rothenberg is, you know, he's telling his story. He's just telling it really badly. That's the thing. You can tell your story, but if people don't care about the story you're telling anymore, who are you telling it to?
Yeah, I mean, I read today an interview with Rothenberg where he said, it was an old interview that someone had referenced, where at the beginning of the season, where he said the point of this final season was to introduce the moral of the story and the writer. And I'm thinking this was on, who wrote this? The writer was like, really? You're just introduced. Like, shouldn't you have introduced the moral for the last 7 seasons and now you're just sort of like, you know, like the moral, I'm not really sure what moral they're introducing because they're talking about like the moral. We have like 4 or 5 morals of the show that we circle around all this time, right? Like for 7 seasons, we're talking about like what will you do, how far will you go to help your people? Like what would you do to survive? What would you do to save the people you love? Uses of technology, you know, cycles of violence. Like these are all things we go around. And so I'm not even sure what they're closing in on. I'm not sure if this is an indictment of faith, if this is in support of faith, if this is faith a red herring and this is more about like it, loving individuals versus loving, like, I don't even know what moral, like, I'm learning and there's only 5 episodes to go.
Oh, we're not going to know what the moral is until they tell us it. And it's not going to be anything that makes sense.
No, and you know, it's funny because, like, in the first half of the season, I thought we've talked a lot about, like, how the stones are going to be a portal back to Earth, and they're going to get back to Earth, and, you know, to me, I was like, even at what timeline will they get back to Earth, and what's that going to be like, and now I don't even, like, know about that. That seems to not even be going towards, and we've got all these random... We've just wasted so much time. Like, why did we have to have someone telling us for 20 minutes about how the atmosphere in Bardo turns everyone into crystals and you can't go outside and breathe the air? And then we had, like, Mickey Baby Dioza being, you know, like, stealing the guns for a while. And then we have all the, like, I don't know. There's, like, they did such a good job, I think, of showing.
Go ahead.
I think they did a really good job of showing Octavia's growth and transformation and making Octavia, like, I think I really saw Octavia move from her post-Blood Reyna, like, trauma to become the person she is right now. And I think they did a good job of showing that while she was on Penance. And I think they did a really good job of developing Hope from an infant to a fully grown character that I actually care about. And Dioza, while I don't agree with, and while I don't agree with where they went with Dioza, I think they devoted the time to it to sell it to the audience. And they have, and it came at the expense of Clark and Bellamy.
Here's one for you.
And a coherent through line.
Yes. So neither of us like this whole Bellamy situation. But here's the thing. And this goes back to my biggest complaint about this season. So Bob Morley wanted time off. Okay, fine. It's your final season. One of your main characters isn't around. But we'll fix it. We'll write around it. So instead of seeing Bellamy struggle and his time on Etheria and coming to praise the Shepherd, we get one episode of it instead of a little bit each week to actually see why.
Yeah,
you know,
would that have gone better?
Could we be more on board with this if we got it in smaller doses? And maybe even a longer period of time. If he's in the whole season, then you can say it's 6 months, you know, 6 months or something, because that's about how long it's, you know, this season's been in real time. You know? So could that, you know, could that have helped us? We could have seen his growth more. They could have done more with it. And they couldn't, you know, and they wouldn't have had to do 42 minutes in 3 months. We could have actually seen more if they wanted to do 3 months. We could have seen more of the 3 months. We could have seen a couple days at a time or something instead of 3 months in 42 minutes. Yeah.
So, like, ask your actor, okay, shoot 2 full episodes worth of material and we'll drop in 10 minutes into each episode of the first 10.
Exactly.
So you and I had a chance to, like, think about it, you and I, the audience, or so there was a little more of it. And so it didn't appear that he only blooped, like, not even, like, that was only 5 episodes ago anyway, right? Like, it was...
Right, but it's three. Yeah, but it was 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. They did such a good job. I feel with like the Octavia Hope Dioza flashbacks that whoever wrote that has the ability to do better by Bellamy. They shortchanged Bellamy, and I feel like they have the talent to do better on the show because they did better, but they didn't do right by this character.
I wouldn't be surprised if the finale is awesome. But
like 3 years in a row. This happens every year that we're like, we hate the show, we hate the show.
And then the finale. I don't even care if the finale is awesome because it was such a treacherous ride to get there. You know? It's like.
Do you think this is worse than previous bad seasons?
All right, let's put it this way. Maybe I'm feeling it more because I went into the season going, it's the last season. We've got what we've got. I'm not hate watching, and I'm hate watching because
I am too.
They continue to drive me crazy because every week we have a character doing something out of character to forward the story in an illogical way. You can't tell a story by changing the character to fit your needs at that moment. That is bad storytelling. Period.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to describe it. You know, we've stopped watching shows for this exact reason.
Yes. And that's what they did to Bellamy. Like, for Bellamy to be so easily... I mean, the idea... So, I this was engineered, I feel like... Like, okay, I shouldn't, like, be so... I don't want to speak so confidently, but I feel like this was possibly engineered to give us that shock value moment where... Bellamy betrays Clark. Like, it was all just engineered.
Shocked.
What? No, but that's what they were working toward. I wasn't shocked because...
I know.
Like, as soon as it was clear that he, like, I wasn't shocked, but that's what they're going for, that moment where, oh my God, he betrayed Clark, right? And really betrayed the three of them in a way that...
He betrayed his people. All of them.
He betrayed his people, so and the three people he loves most in the world, and I mean, I don't want to rank them above each other, but Clark is his other half, right?
Yeah.
In a way that is maybe not in a romantic way, but
Clark's,
they are
Clark's
they're
soulmate.
The same person.
So,
yes.
Yeah, Clark's
yes.
your soulmate. Your
yep.
soulmate doesn't have to be the person you're in love with. You know, they are two
right.
sides of the same coin.
Yes, they're heads and tails, for sure.
Yep.
And but yeah, I think it was a setup to get us to that moment where they wanted. I mean, I'm sure there were people out there who were like, who were shocked by that, and it was a setup for a shock moment of TV, which to me is not believable to me that he would ever do that to Clark without at least being like, Clark, you don't believe? Come on, get on board. I totally believe. Please let me brainwash you. Like, there's no way that he does that. He pulls the rug out from under Clark like that. Although he did it to
I was just gonna say, Bellamy has never done anything like that without having a conversation first.
Well,
except
when Lincoln got shot in the head.
I was gonna say, see, that's a perfect example. We didn't like what Bellamy was doing when he was working with Pike, but we understood it. It made sense. It was totally in character for who Bellamy was at the time.
Yeah,
you know,
and
you
did try to explain
the anguish with Bellamy. Yes, and you could see the anguish with Bellamy as it was happening. You could see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This is thrown at us, and they say, oh, you have to believe this is what we're showing you. Even though we don't give you any reason to believe it, you have to believe it anyway. Bellamy, I mean, think about when Bellamy wanted, when they were talking about doing away with Octavia because they felt like she was too far gone and they had to stop her at any cost. How long did him and Clark go back and forth on that? And then that was a shock value because when he actually did poison her, we thought he freaking killed her. We weren't even sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, we knew exactly what was going on. Because that made sense because that's who Bellamy was at that time. We haven't seen with who Bellamy was at the end of last season. This is not Bellamy. And you can't convince me that 3 months Bellamy changed because he saw some spirity lights in his mommy in a vision.
Well, especially because his mommy is to see his mother, Aurora is her name, at that moment, is a little...
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Complicated. Yeah, Aurora, right? It's complicated to me why he would see her because... Okay, so she has not actually been... She's never been invoked, or I've never really felt like she's his motivation in recent years. And in the early years, like, she's kind of the cause of all of this. Like, when you talk about, like she had a baby. It was not allowed to have any more babies on the Ark, and she had a baby secretly. So, like, is that the most ultimate selfish love? It's like, I'm having a baby against the law because I just want to have a baby, right? And then Bellamy is complicit, and Bellamy's entire life becomes about, like Bellamy, in some sense, has sacrificed his entire life since his childhood to protect Octavia, right? And his entire life became about, including getting the job to go to the Earth to protect her, right? Like, everything in his life is about, like, what this show is now describing as selfish love. And his mother, like, kind of ruined his life, sort of. I mean, granted, if he'd never gone to the ground, he would have died on the Ark when they had no oxygen. But whatever. Like, his mother is sort of like the ultimate selfish person. She made a decision that law was in place because you jeopardized the entire Ark if you increased the population by not. Like, she's the ultimate person who put her own needs above humanity. And didn't love everyone. She loved her child, right? Like, she's the ultimate example of what William is. I mean, maybe she's not. I'm just sort of spitballing here, but she's an example of sort of a very selfish person in some ways. And she baked in Bellamy's relationship to Octavia. And so for him to see her, and yet at the same time, I don't feel like her name has not been mentioned for like 5 seasons, right? It's not like while the Blake kids are very close. They never talk about their mother. Really, it's Clark who has mommy issues.
Well, yeah.
So to
and
see that,
here's
to
the funny
see
thing.
That, that's a, yeah. just quickly, that's another reason why it's picked out of Octavia's head and not Bellamy's. I don't feel it's a real thing that Bellamy's going to hallucinate. I don't think he's going to see Aurora, and that's another reason why I feel like it's a thing that Levitt picked out of Octavia's brain.
Think about it. He's going to have this vision, and if it's actually a vision of his mother, and she doesn't say, "How's Octavia?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially the way you just described her, you know, in that aspect of, you know, which is a way you could look at her being selfish and everything. She went through all that to have another child, to hide her under the floor and everything. And you are from the great beyond visiting your son, and you don't say, "By the way, how's your sister doing?" That we all our entire lives got flipped upside down because of. I feel like, you know, I like your theory. It makes William even more diabolical and more hated, which is a good thing. You know, there's also, I mean, for all we know, there's some toxic gas in that room, which is why he was hallucinating. You know what I mean? And so it's just his subconscious.
Yeah. Plus he ate like a random scorpion and a bunch of like lichen off the walls and whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
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 They're not exactly eating healthy. I mean, and that's the other thing, you know. They talk about, they rush the episode is very rushed because, like, they're like, oh, you know, the shepherd survived in here, and, like, we're short on rations. Like, how the hell, you know, we don't see how they survive. Other than Bounty eating a spider or a scorpion or what it was off the wall, I never see them eat.
No.
So what are they eating?
No, they never, yeah, or, I mean, that whole, like, which kind of makes me wonder, like, okay, it does make me wonder, but there's an element of time dilation on this show, and could it have felt longer, except their beards grew really long. I mean, they were clearly in there for a long time, but I'm the more we talk about it, the more I think that Bill Cadigan was trying to recreate for Bellamy the experience that the shepherd supposedly had. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of more and more convinced that this scripture is a bunch of bullshit also.
Well, let's not forget, after he has his vision, the snow stops. I'm sorry. But...
Well, and then his cult recruiter immediately says to him, oh, as soon as you prayed, the storm stopped. Like, these are things that cult indoctrination, like, I've never been in a cult, all right? But I understand that they're very good brainwasher kind of people.
Good
brainwashers.
We watch the following. We understand cults.
Yes, you had to be in a cult to watch that horrible piece of crap show. But they're very good. They're kind of like when you go to see a fortune teller or a psychic, and they're very good at, like, connecting coincidences and selling it. They're basically salespeople. And, you know, this guy's name, Doucette, if you looked on the closed captioning and in the cast list, his name is Conductor Doucette. Conductor Doucette. Like, his job is conductor. And I'm like, oh, conductor. What's conductor? Mm. Is a conductor a person who conducts people into your cult? Like, I feel like, of course, a cult brainwashers would say, oh, by the way, AJ, the minute you prayed, the storm stopped. Clearly, you know, there are forces at work here. Like, this guy was just like, I just wonder, was it a coincidence at all that they were brought together?
Well, here's my thing.
And was William some sort of, like, P.T. Barnum, Wizard of Oz guy?
My thing was, it took me a minute to wonder where he came from, because was he supposedly already there? Did he bloop with Bellamy? Like, I'm not even 100% sure how
he
got
there. Supposedly he was right there
was
in the room.
There.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
and
so
do you remember
he was in the room
he...
and blooped with Bellamy, or he was already on the planet?
He was in the room with Bellamy when the thing blew up. He was one of the random red shirts standing around when the stone blew. They went through, but.
Because when Bellamy went through, I didn't see anybody else go through. When Levitt was pausing it and seeing that Bellamy went through, I didn't see the conductor
there.
There
was a
guy,
like,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the another very suspicious thing to me is when, you know, when they're like climbing up the rock face, which, you know, it's kind of, I think it was sort of a hilarious joke that they had to climb that thing because, you know, apparently in real life, Bob Morley is really into rock climbing and bouldering and is really good at it. And then they had this whole setup in this episode where he can't climb up a piece of rock. But there's a point, you know, where Doucette is falling and the rope is breaking and Doucette's like, cut me loose. I wrote all the codes in the margins of the – I slipped the book into your backpack and I happened to write all the – I think he says Anders wrote – somebody wrote all the codes in the margins. Anders wrote or I wrote it. And I put it in your backpack, so just cut me loose. Well, why would he ever do that if it wasn't – why would he slip it into Bellamy's backpack without telling him if it wasn't a total setup?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would he ever give up those codes and put it in Bellamy's backpack? I mean, I guess unless you're a cult recruiter, right? And then he's like, Bellamy, cut me loose. Do it yourself. And Bellamy's like, but there's no – like, it just felt so – like, I wonder if that – I wonder if it's going to turn out – yeah. It's either horrible – right? It's more likely to be horrible writing, but it could be my theory that this was all a setup to indoctrinate Bellamy using cult methods.
But here's the funny thing. Even if you're right, even if you're right and it is a setup, it's still bad because even a setup should not convert Bellamy that easily.
3 months is not long enough. And especially it seems to have happened in the last 1 month, right?
And not for Bellamy. It happened in one moment when they were climbing up the face and when Bellamy was still scoffing at it. Until that moment when he fell off the cliff and he was pulling him back up, he starts chanting the mantra there. That's, I think, the moment. And even when they got to the top and he tells him he had to take a leap of faith and fall into it, and Bellamy was like, you're crazy. So what, because he jumped in and it worked?
Yeah.
Like,
after Bellamy previously was like, when he's crawling in the snow, he's like, I am not afraid, I'm not afraid, which is Octavia's words, right? He's quoting Octavia when he's like, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. And then before he jumps, he's like, I am afraid, which, okay, admit your fear. Like, that's fine, Bellamy, but I don't know. To see him to betray would he betray Echo? I mean, I don't think so, but we have seen very little of their relationship. It's hard for me to be invested in their relationship when I haven't seen it all season. For him to betray Octavia, well, you're right. He tried to poison Blood Raina.
But for
to betray Clark and Octavia is just, I think, now I'm convincing myself of my own theory, but it's because I just don't want to believe that they're messing up Bellamy so bad. And that Bellamy, I mean, I agree with you. He's a believer. He bent the knee. He bent the knee. Which nobody else, we haven't really seen people kneeling before Bill. I mean, that's another problem with Bill. Like, Bill's like, oh, you know, don't love anyone more than anyone else except me because I'm a big cult. Like, it's obvious. It's so obvious that Bill has been building a cult since we saw the whole backstory where Bill was all about, like, he wanted his own family to bend the knee, in a sense, right? He's clearly a psycho. I mean, so one good thing that happened, I was really worried for a minute, and the very first moments of the show when we see that Bellamy has gone through and he's blooped and there's a guy in white who is with him, and I did think at first it might be – at first I was like, wait, did Neil McDonough go through? Because Neil McDonough's character was the worst, and he's dead, and he can't be here. And then he wasn't there. So I was like, oh, thank God. But, you know, for a second, I thought this big actor was going to be, like, resurrected. So I'm glad his death stuck. But I mean, I'm going to hate watch it. We're going to hate watch it to the end, right? Maybe they'll nail it. They always nail the season finale.
But this is a series finale. Which is even harder.
Yeah. And they didn't maybe nail, they've nailed like 3 out of 6 season finales, not all of them, but I mean, yeah, series finale. And I mean, if there's any ending that is not Bellamy and Clark on a peaceful planet with their people having hope for the future, like, why did we almost watch this for years, right? Like, okay, I'm oversimplifying. I could be happy with some other versions, but they, I feel like they've really held it out to us that they could go back to Earth, that they've really held it out to us. By introducing Becca recently, I feel like there's got to be some sort of technology-based ending. I don't know. This is not a show that ends like, so you remember how, like, how Alien ends, where like Sigourney Weaver puts herself into hypersleep and you're like, oh shit, that's the ending? What? Right? Like, this is not a show that ends with them going into hypersleep and we don't know what happens to them. I feel like The 100 is a show that's going to end with some sort of future, right? Well, it already did end that way like 2 seasons ago, right? This has to end with some sort of... I feel like the war to end all wars is a red herring.
Probably. See, but, you know, and that's... And the funny thing is they've retconned themselves.
Yeah.
They changed...
Oh, wait, you broke up there a second.
I was just saying, they changed Becca's history from what we knew it to be.
From when she was a child and she went into the conclave and all that. Or not the conclave, but how she became a spy for Ice Nation.
Oh, Becca. The
scientist. Oh, Becca. Yeah, Becca. Yeah. I thought you said Echo. You said Becca.
No, Becca.
Yeah.
Like, they changed her own story from what we knew it to be. I mean, I guess you could pass that off as an unreliable narrator, but you would think any of the other flame bearers would have known, or, you know, not the flame bearers, that was Gaia, but the commanders. You would think any of the other commanders would know. Which, by the way, Gaia's still in the cave.
Gaia's still in the cave. Gaia never came out. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I mean, sidelining Gaia is also a problem. Like, Gaia, so, I mean, I haven't been the hugest fan of how they handled Gaia this season. I mean, I do like that Gaia and Clark became, like, roommates and co-parents to, you know, they became, like, platonic co-parents, and I there are some problems there because they drink tea and have a golden retriever, but in general, I kind of liked it, but they've
man, you really
taken
hate that
the... Call. I just think, like, why? What, a golden retriever? Like, do you remember season one? We had, like, we had a deer with two heads, and we had, like, gorillas that were going insane, and somehow there's on Sanctum there's a golden retriever, and they, I just, you know, I what I don't like is that Gaia, who's a grounder, sort of, like, became a suburban American, but, like, and Gaia's had sort of the fire taken out of her a little bit. Like, yes, she's still devoted to Maddie, but so Gaia has been pretty much the number one example of a person of faith who was a strong, intelligent believer, and her faith guided her to do great things and be kind of a great person, right? And I love the way, like, her mother chose the military and she chose faith. And so earlier in this conversation, I criticized the way this show handles faith, and I stand by that. But Gaia maybe is the exception.
Yeah, I agree with that. But now that I remember that Gaia has been sidelined, she's going to show up in Sanctum to save the day.
Maybe she will. Yeah, because she's the one character who's sort of like, where are you? What are you doing? Right? You're still in a cave. Whereas everyone else has proved to sort of not be helpful.
And the thing is, nobody knows she's missing. Because Clark and company left her behind when they went through the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as far as Indra knows, she's with Clark and company. So.
And she's alone in the cave, right?
Yeah, just with that guy that knocked her out when he broke the portal.
Yeah.
Which is another question.
Ever be... Yeah.
Well, never mind. They can still get back to Sanctum through the portal from Bardo.
If someone knows how to work it. I wonder if she'll ever be seen again. Like, will we, has she just, there's only 5 episodes. Like, and she is sort of not the most important character. except that she's important to Indra, right? And to Clark, because Clark's BFF, but...
You can't just leave her in the cave and never show her again. I mean, they could.
And yet, they could. But I guess, I mean, five episodes, all they've all got to come back for the final war or whatever. So, yeah, we're disappointed. We're not excited about... This was not a great return of Bellamy Blake. I mean, it's great to see him, but it was... His work was good. Like, yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm sure.
So next week, I believe, we go back to Sanctum. We have a whole Sanctum episode, which to me is a gigantic waste of time. Like, I don't really care if Shade Hayda kills the Allegiance prisoners or the people of Gabriel. Like, I don't really care if he kills all of them. Like, we only care about Murphy and Amori, pretty much,
and
on the
Indra.
Whole planet at this point, right? And Indra. And Maddie, I guess, is still there, but I really don't even care about Maddie anymore. But this, I mean, this is like a side plot to keep all those characters busy until Clark and Bellamy reappear and say, walk into this anomaly and come to Earth and it'll be the final episode. Honestly, if you want to be like tricking cult leaders, you want like there's so much subterfuge going on in this season, and they're not using their best person, who is Murphy. But anyway, next week is Murphy and Amori trying to not get killed. So there are ways in which I prefer that storyline. Yeah, there are ways in which I prefer their storyline, and ways in which I think it's a gigantic waste of my time. Right? It's like a separate show. It's like we watch a totally different show every other week.
Maybe a split episode, because in the description of next week's episode, well, tomorrow night's episode, it's a new day in Sanctum, and Clark, Octavia, and Echo battle with a new enemy.
So that's a split episode. We know the new enemy is Bellamy, yeah. So, all right. Well, there's a new episode is a new hope for something decent.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week, folks, to do this again. And Karen and I don't know if Jamie was on board with it, but we're going to check out and talk about Lovecraft Country, which is on HBO Max. And
yes.
J.J. Abrams is involved. And who else is involved in that? Some other good...
A bunch of fantastic actors are involved in it. Amazing actors are involved in it. Jay is an EP, and it's a horror story, but it also is about racism in America in, like, the 70s, right? And it's not based on the work of H.P. Lovecraft, but it's sort of, like, inspired by it, right? It's supposed to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it kind of has me at...
What? Can't hear you. AJ, I lost you. Uh-oh. All right, so I'm not sure if AJ's on the air or if I'm on the air, in which case I should just keep talking. So thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight. And we're going to be back here next week to talk about the same couple shows. We're going to talk about Wynonna Earp, The 100, and we're going to give Lovecraft Country a shot. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. And good night. AJ, you there? Time to time out. Bye.
I don't know what the hell just happened. Nope. There.
Oh, that's okay. I gave a little goodbye. I was like, okay, we lost them. We'll talk about our shows next week. Three shows.
Yep, I called back to say goodbye. So we'll have
okay.
Three shows.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard me or not, but Jordan Peele is the other executive producer that I was thinking about. So.
Oh, he is. He's done some great horror work lately, right? So
yeah.
All right. Great. We'll give it a watch.
Looks
we'll talk about it next week.
So
yeah.
That means we'll have less time to hate on the 100. Yay.
Okay. All right.
All
have
right.
a good week.
Have a good week, Karen.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right.
Stay safe, and we'll do it again next week. Good night.
All right. Bye.